Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, the Church wishes all of you a very blessed and happy feast of Palm Sunday. Today there is a hymn that is sung in the church that is one of the most joyous of all hymns, and it's unfortunate that we only usually pray it during this one day. And this hymn is called Eflogimenos. And you'll notice that the tune of the actual hymn is extremely joyous, so much so because it's supposed to be something that our children learn very easily and they can repeat it with us over and over again. And if you attended with us yesterday the Vespers that we prayed for Palm Sunday, there was a procession where the children joined us in that procession. And again this morning we did the procession of the cross and the children joined us yet again. And we said Eflogimenos yet another time right before the reading of the Gospels. The words of Eflogimenos are extremely important for us to understand. When we say Eflogimenos, we are actually crying out as an anthem to be able to say who it is that we believe is the one who comes in and enters into Jerusalem. We say the following: Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and again in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David, and again to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest, and again in the highest. Hosanna to the King of Israel, and again to the King of Israel. Let us chant saying, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Glory be to our God. Again, glory be to our God. Now, we say these things and these sentences all the time in church, and maybe we don't understand what they mean. But in the readings of the Gospels that we just read, we recognize how it is that when the people saw the Lord entering into Jerusalem, they said these very sentences. And if you can understand what it is that they are saying, you will have a better understanding of why the church says them in the places where they are written for us to say. Why would the people say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? It's very easy for us to be able to say, I come in the name of so-and-so. If a messenger is sent on behalf of a delegate who is a delegate of an ambassador, who is a delegate of a politician, he says what? I have come in the name of so-and-so. If I send someone to give you a message, that person says, Abuna Anthony sent me to tell you this and this. When we do that, can you simply say that it's the equivalent of saying, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Of course not, because at the time of the Jews, when they say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they are speaking of blessed is he who comes with the authority and the same essence as God. What they are saying is that the one who comes to us is divine. The one who we are greeting right now is not simply sent by God, but he is in and of himself an expression of God. Now they thought that the only time that they could say that was to the one who would be sent to save Israel. The one that they would call the Messiah, the Christ. But here is what is interesting. When they say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, immediately followed by Blessed is the Son of David. Now the Son of David is a title that's extremely important. Because the Son of David to us might simply mean that he is a descendant of David. But we know that between Jesus Christ and David the prophet and the king, it's 1,000 years. So to simply say that he is the Son of David, we don't mean this at the level of his genealogy. We don't mean that he is the immediate son of David. But what do the people of Israel mean when they say that? When the Canaanite woman came and begged the Lord Jesus in order for her to give her food and to feed her and to heal her daughter, what did she call him? She says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. The two blind men that were in the street, when they heard that Jesus was walking and they could not see him because they were blind, what did they cry out? Son of David, have mercy on us. Why would they use the title Son of David? You see, in the book of Samuel, in the Old Testament, There is a very clear prophecy that points that the descendant of David that will be said will be the one on whom the Lord will be blessing for him to be the Messiah, for him to be the one who is anointed, for him to be the King of Israel. You see, when the people cried out and said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," when they cried out and gave him the title Son of David, when they cried out and called him the King of Israel, the people were calling him the Messiah. And the Pharisees couldn't handle it. The Pharisees and the elders of Israel could not accept that they were saying this. They even looked at Jesus and told him, "What? Make them be quiet. Do you not hear what they are calling you? Do you have no respect for your Jewish faith? Make them be quiet. Do not let them call you these things." They did not want him to be the Messiah. They did not want him to be the Christ. And why did they not want him to be? Because they were hoping that the Messiah and that the King of Israel would be a chief of an army, a man who would come with great authority and great power and cause a rebellion in order for them to be freed from Rome. What they wanted was a king who was powerful. They did not want to be saved from their sin. They did not want salvation, but these people are crying out and saying what? Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Hosanna is to say salvation has come. When they say salvation has come, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Salvation has come, blessed be the Son of David. Salvation has come, blessed is the King of Israel. They're declaring that salvation is coming through this man, and the Pharisees could not accept it. So what did Jesus tell those people? Even if they were to be quiet, the rocks themselves would open their mouths and speak out and cry out. Creation would not be able to be muted. Even the irrational creatures of God would cry out and testify that truly he is the Messiah. But then the Lord asks a question that's extremely important. He says, "You think I'm simply the Messiah, but you don't understand that I am God in the flesh." And so he poses a question to them in the Gospel of St. Mark. And as he speaks to them, he says the following. He says, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the Son of David when David himself says in the Holy Spirit, he declares, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet.'" If David is willing to say that the one who will come after him is the one who sits at the right hand of God and whom the Lord will also declare to be Lord. What Jesus is doing is declaring to them, "You think I'm simply a political figure who came to try to figure out your problems with Rome? You think I came so that I can make you prestigious again and you can be the great nation of Israel that you were once proud to be? I have come to do so much more. I have come to be able to offer you salvation from your sins, to free you from the bondage of death. I have come to do so much more than simply be your political hero." Now the people seem to understand more than those who were supposed to know best. Those children who were waving their palm leaves and laying them at the feet of Jesus so that his feet would not hit the ground. The ones who took off their garments and laid them on the floor as a sign of honor and respect, they seemed to know more than the elders who were supposed to know the prophecies were fulfilled. The question is, do we know more than those people? When you and I today, 2,000 years later, when we say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," when we say, "Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the King of Israel," do we know what we are saying? Once upon a time, the Lord entered into Jerusalem and they greeted him with palm leaves and with voices of joy, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Today, the Lord enters into so much more than just Jerusalem. The Lord comes knocking on the hearts of every single one of his believers, saying, "Will you let me in as king? Will you allow me to be the one who is truly Son of David in your life? Will you allow me not to be the king of Israel, but the king over your life, the one who provides for you, the one who leads you, the one who defends you and protects you? Will you let me be your king? It is not enough for us to come and to fill the pews of the church and to celebrate today, Palm Sunday, which is a glorious feast. But if we have not yet opened the gates of our heart and welcomed him and told him, Hosanna, then we have failed. We have gained nothing if we welcome him here in church, but we have not welcomed him into our homes. We have gained nothing if we have welcomed him here at church, but we have not welcomed him in our relationship with our spouses, with our children, with our family and our friends. We have benefited nothing if we know the hymns and we dress as deacons and we stand as priests and we attend as servants, and in the end we have not even opened the gates of our hearts to tell him, we want you to be king. Be very careful. The same people who cried out and said, Hosanna, later on cried out and said, crucify him, crucify him. We cannot be among those people. We want to be better than those who came before us. We want to be greater than those who ignorantly did not know what was happening. We want to be able to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and to recognize that we are welcoming our Lord, our God, and our Savior. We want to call him Son of David and recognize him as the one who is both the root as well as the seed of David, as he says in the book of Revelation. We want to call him King of Israel and recognize that we are Israel. Israel means to struggle, to fight with God. Those who struggle and fight with him, those who persevere with him. We are Israel. I'm not talking about the nation. I'm not talking about the country. I am talking about the people of God. We are the ones who call ourselves his children. If we are going to call him the King of Israel, then we are declaring him to be our king. So tell him, Lord, I will be your Israel. I will be the one who fights. I will be the one who struggles. I will be the one who perseveres with you. And bless me the way that you blessed Jacob, the way that you blessed Israel. I will contend with you and I will wrestle with you until you declare yourself to be my king. The psalm that we read today says, praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Praise is awaiting you. The praise can't be limited to here in the church. The praise can't be limited to us saying eflogimenos once or twice or three times in the church a year. Praise has to be offered to him every single day. The welcoming of him into our heart has to be done every single moment. Today is our opportunity to rejoice with the church, to sing the hymns, to say Hosanna, to call him king. But more importantly, we have to learn that we take from the church today and we go back home and we apply it every single moment of our lives. May he allow us to be able to declare him to be king of our lives. May he allow us to recognize him truly as him who brings salvation. To him be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.